introduction to the Lord's Prayer from Luther's Small Catechism. Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. What a pitiful creature a fatherless child is. God is specifically said to have a heart for the fatherless. Our Lord Jesus promised us he would not leave us as orphans. What a sad thing not to have a father. What a sadder thing to have a father, but act like you don't. We need a Heavenly Father every day, yet we're not pointed to one. Human reason points towards a businessman. It points us to a God who we can go to, who we can depend on, who we can seek shelter in, if we do what is right, if we try our best, if we don't give up, then God will help us. God helps those who rightly apply themselves to grace. God helps those who pray sincerely, who pray desperately, who pray selflessly. We can go to God for help as long as we hold up our end of the deal. So how you doing with a businessman rather than a father? We need a father who is in heaven, yet we're not pointed to one. Our conscience points us to a punisher. Our conscience rightly tells us we're guilty. We have done the wrong and we failed to do the right. Our conscience tells us that God will get us for this. His wrath and his anger against our sins will be poured out on us. So every ache, every pain, every bad thing that comes into our lives, we see God the punisher behind it. Now who can expect anything good from a punisher, let alone go to him in time of need? The best thing you can do is try not to think about the God who punishes at all. Oh, how we need a father in heaven, but we're not pointed to one. We're pointed to a businessman, a punisher, and at this time of year, a Santa Claus. So what's so bad about being pointed towards him? Even though he knows who's been bad and who's been good, in the end, everyone gets something for Christmas. And there's the problem. We don't need a father who indulges us. We don't need a father who ho-ho-hos away our sins as if they don't really matter. They do matter, and we know it. Just as there's no real comfort in not thinking about a God who punishes, so there's no real comfort in not thinking about our sins. They are real. They are serious. They are ugly. And they must be paid for, or all hell will break loose against us right now, in time and forever in eternity. And deep down, we know this to be true. What we need is a Heavenly Father. Only a Heavenly Father is big enough to pray to about all the complicated, heavy problems of everyday life. Only a Heavenly Father is loving enough to deal with this ever-present sinfulness we have. By teaching us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," Jesus tenderly invites us to believe that none other than God, the Lord, the Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, is our true Father. And we are his true children. If Jesus had not told us, we could and we should call God Father. Would you do it? I wouldn't. The Bible says perfect angels aren't perfect enough in his sight. The Bible says God is a consuming fire. He's a light that cannot be approached, before whom all people should be silent. So how can we ever bring ourselves to be so familiar, so personal, so intimate with such a God? But Jesus bids us, he invites us, he urges us not to be silent at all before him, but to call him Father. The only way we'll ever be able to call God Father is if we see him, approach him through Jesus, the perfect Son. This is the stuff of Christmas, isn't it? You've been hearing that Isaiah 9 passage since you were babies. You've been hearing that one of Jesus' names is Everlasting Father. Now understand this. God the Father is not the same person as God the Son. Yet the only way for us to know God as an Everlasting Father is in the person of God the Son. Outside God the Son, God could only be your Father as long as you were a perfect son or daughter. Once you sinned, you would fall short of His glory and then could only go know God as Punisher and no longer as Father. In Jesus, God never ceases to be our Father. In Jesus, God is the Everlasting Father. Because in Jesus, we are perfect sons and daughters of God. No one can find sin in Jesus. In all the ways that we fall short of God's glory, Jesus exceeded His glory. You cannot imagine how good, holy, and perfect Jesus lived. Well, He did that for you. He did it in your flesh and blood. He didn't do it for Himself. As God, Jesus was perfect and holy already. In this perfect Jesus, there is no wrath against sins. All of God's wrath was poured out against Jesus on the cross. Every reason God the Father might have for denying that you're His child, Jesus paid for. In Jesus, God can no more cease to be your Father than He could cease to be Jesus' eternal Father. You know what our problem is? Our problem is we insist on looking at God apart from Jesus. But what does Jesus so plainly tell Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. Note, Jesus does not say, whoever has seen Hurricane Katrina devastate the Gulf Coast has seen the Father. Jesus does not say, whoever has seen their loved one suffering or dying has seen the Father. Jesus does not say, whoever has seen chronic pain, difficult times, sadness, or loneliness has seen the Father. No, Jesus says, whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. So go ahead, look at Mary's belly. Look in the manger. Look on the cross. Look in these words about Jesus. Look in the water that Jesus gives. And look on this altar at the bread and wine where Jesus is. And there see God, your Father. But you know, sometimes we're embarrassed by our fathers. Our father wears certain clothes or says certain things that are either too simple or silly for us. There's a truism of life that just when you reach the age where you realize what's in style and what's not, your father reaches the age where he doesn't care anymore. Well, God the Father never did care. God the Father never did care what popular opinion thought. He knew men thought they could seek Him in His majesty. He knew that men thought they could seek Him in His mystery. He knew that men thought they could seek Him in their own misery. Oh yes, men stare and stare and stare at their misery that they're going through till they think they've found the true God in it, even as they think they find Him in what is majestic or mystifying. But as God was neither in the earthquake, nor in the fire, nor in the howling wind, but only in the still small voice, so God can only be found as Father where He wants to be found. And that's in Jesus. When we call God Father in Jesus, He cannot fail to hear us there. God can and does turn a deaf ear to those praying outside of Jesus. God does not hear those who think He should hear Him because they are in great pain or because they are praying so eloquently, fervently, or single-mindedly. Nothing about us, not our pains, not our sincerity, not our piety, can make God our Father who hears our prayers. Only Jesus can do that. But do you get what that means? That means if God does not hear me because I am in great pain, then the fact that my pain isn't that great doesn't mean I'm not heard. If God doesn't hear me because I pray eloquently, then the fact that I stammer and stutter in my prayers doesn't mean He doesn't hear me. If God doesn't hear me because I pray so fervently, then when my heart is cold and my prayers taste like ashes in my mouth, that does not mean my prayers fall back to earth without being heard. And if God doesn't hear my prayers because they're single-minded enough, then when I find my mind wandering, worrying, or flickering, it doesn't mean my prayers are wasted. God hears your prayers, not because you're in such great pain, but because Jesus went through the pains of hell for you. God hears your prayers, not because your mouth is eloquent, but because your prayers come through the holy, precious mouth of His only beloved Son. God hears your prayers not because they reach a certain fervency, but because God the Son poured out His heart, His soul, and His mind, and His life and death for you. God hears your prayers not because you are able to focus so well, but because Jesus never strayed from His purpose of living your life and dying your death. Jesus succeeded in redeeming you. He went to heaven and there poured out His Spirit on you, whom you now have in your baptism, in the absolution, in the communion. And the Holy Spirit prays the way Jesus did. In Gethsemane, in that trying, difficult, dark, fearful time, Jesus prayed, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 promises you that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit prays as a son or daughter of God. The Spirit prays to a father. This Spirit, as long as He dwells in you, through the water, the words, or the bread and wine of the Son, moves you, urges you, enables you to call God the intimate, personal, friendly name, Father. The devil, the world, and your own flesh, they tell you, they preach, and they scream lies at you. They say, you've been left without a father in this fallen world. You don't have a heavenly Father that cares for you and wants to hear from you. They say, you may as well shut up, for no one is really listening. In despair, in loneliness, in heartbreak, we give in to that lie, and our lips fall silent. But the Father's still there. Every day, He wants to hear from you. Every day His ears are open for your cries, your pleas, your tears, your fears. All things have been prepared for you to pray to Him. Every day the communication lines are open to your Father in heaven because they are strung on the cross of Christ. There is power for you to pray because you've been given the Spirit of Christ. Deep forever calls to deep. God the Son calls to God the Father through God the Spirit. Inviting you, enticing you, urging you to call God Father. Don't know what to pray? Begin by calling God Father. Because no matter what your day is like, no matter how bad, how muddled, how fearful, or downright sinful you feel on a given day, every day in Jesus, you have a Father in heaven who wants to do His will for you here on earth. And His will is this for you, to save you, both in time and in eternity. Amen. We continue with